This is a time when I really have to dig deep. If you're listening, you have to dig deep. These words of President John F. Kennedy, these are so true, and they represent the beauty of what American democracy is at its heart, the benevolence, the desire for freedom, to celebrate and uplift all individuals, especially immigrants, who are the backbone of this country and the economic fabric that make the economy strong and vital. We have to dig deep.
Welcome to Jazz Therapy, where we explore the intersectionality of jazz, the psyche and psychoanalytic thought, spirituality, and consciousness. I'm your host, Jesse Shapiro. If you want to change the world, start with yourself. Mohandas Gandhi. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. Leo Tolstoy. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. President Barack Obama. Well, here are some quotes to set the tone for today's episode, season 2, episode 3 of Jazz Therapy, post-election special. And today's episode is entitled The Power of One, Meditation for the USA, and The Genius of Clifford Brown. Welcome, everyone, to Jazz Therapy. I'm so glad to be back here. I am a couple weeks behind schedule, just due to being very busy and just with life. And I really wanted to do an episode post-election. So I'm a couple weeks late, about a month late. I wanted to do an episode where everybody could just kind of process their feelings about the election and also feel empowered as to what they can do going forward. So if you've been listening to this podcast, you probably know that my politics are liberal. However, all people are welcome to listen to this podcast, and I hope they do, across the political spectrum. The therapeutic part of the show is the jazz, and I try to bring some interesting insights using my psychological knowledge, my passion for spirituality, because I do always say on the show, everyone, that I am a spiritual seeker. I'm a spiritual mystic at heart, meaning that I really value the direct path to God. And I see the value in all of the beautiful religions of the world. I want this to be a unifying show where everyone who listens to jazz can come. And if you have different politics, you know, different views than I do, that's totally welcome here. However, after the election here in the United States, we all know the outcome. I felt dejected, disappointed, defeated. I kind of just walked around numb for a little while. And I wallowed in this for a bit. And then finally, I really thought about what is the path forward in this outcome. Being polarized and being steeped in hostility and animosity, the climate leading up to the election was very intense. And I really thought about how the path of love is the way forward. It was loving everyone. You don't have to like everyone, but loving everybody. Then I thought, okay, well, how really can I make the world better? How can I make this country better? And I thought about how the power of one individual can really change the world. And I was reminded of a time that I was talking to my dear friend, David Teeter, who has a PhD in East-West philosophy. However, he's just fully awake and just one of the most beautiful souls that I've ever met. This is probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember I was telling him that I wanted to earn a lot of money, and then I could sort of go into philanthropy and really make a difference in the world. And then he said, Jesse, if you really want to become someone who makes a difference in the world, then become enlightened. If you really want to make a change, become enlightened. And he was absolutely serious, totally serious, because he explained to me, if one becomes enlightened, then any action that a person takes will be in harmony with the whole. One will be acting and doing from a place that is different from regular consciousness. For example, one would take what is called in Buddhism, right action. One's thoughts are in alignment with the totality of the absolute versus when we're acting from a place of ego, we're sort of trying to force and struggle and make things happen. And when someone has an expanded level of consciousness, this affects the energy fields and the consciousness of everybody around them. And my friend David said, if you want to create a program and you did it from the most well-intentioned place and you're not enlightened, the program could still have repercussions that you didn't even anticipate. And I bet that President Obama could speak to that. That really stayed with me. And deep down, I knew he was right, that really one individual can make a huge change in the world. And that is what we all really need, I think, to be asking ourselves right now is how can we look inward and grow? For me, my spiritual path is so important to me, being dedicated to becoming fully awake so I can be an embodiment of God's love and radiate joy and light to everyone that comes into my path. That is so important to me. And I also want to take right action in the world, given the current political climate in this country and the major changes that are going to be coming down in terms of immigration, the economy. Like, we're in for a very difficult stretch. What do we do in terms of becoming the best versions of ourselves, becoming awake? Let us look at this from a psychological and spiritual perspective. So let's start with the psychological perspective. Okay, so this is from an article I found on LinkedIn, and the article is entitled, If You Want to Change Reality, Start With Yourself and Attend to Your Own Personal Development. And this is by Tony Fockery, and he's a self-empowerment author, keynote speaker, and a life coach. He said, number one, raise your level of consciousness. And he writes, we change the world not by pointing out what is wrong with it, but by upgrading our model of reality to coincide with what we wish to see in the world. This first one is to become more aware and raise our level of consciousness. Number two, he says, upgrade your level of reality. And this one I really like because he's kind of got a Jungian slant here. He says, go within and attend to that part of you that wants to judge outside circumstances as bad. Heal yourself by integrating your shadow self into the wholeness of your perfect nature. Be mindful of your thoughts leading you down a path of negativity. If you do this often, you will break the cycle of incessant thinking. It is worth the effort to your personal growth. Eventually, problems that once consumed you no longer affect you because you've upgraded your model of reality to coincide with the new awareness. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Jung and the shadow side later. However, he's really talking here about when we're finding something wrong with the outer world or often it can be a particular person. We can think, oh, I really don't like how greedy that person is, or they're always just taking up space, or whatever it is. That's normally an indicator that the person is representing some characteristics of ourself that are not fully integrated inside of us. So that can be an indicator to look inward and think, what does this bring up for me? And do some journaling, do some shadow work, etc., to kind of learn more about it. So I like that suggestion. Another concept that comes to mind when it comes to the power of one person to change the world and what does it take for a person to really be awake or become fully actualized is Abraham Maslow. And you have all probably heard of Maslow's hierarchy with self-actualization at the top, followed by self-esteem, love and belonging, safety and security, and physiological needs. And I have a little visual right here. I'll pull that for you guys to see. You can just Google this, but you guys have probably seen Maslow's hierarchy. And really, he's saying here that in order to become self-actualized, we need to have all of the other layers of the pyramid attended to before we can be in that space. And so this is from the website Simply Psychology. I'm going to read this quote. Self-actualization, also referred to as self-realization or self-cultivation, can be described as the complete realization of one's potential as manifest in peak experiences, which involve the full development of one's abilities and appreciation for life. Individuals may perceive or focus on this need very specifically. For example, one individual may have a strong desire to become an ideal parent. In another, the desire may be expressed economically or academically or athletically. For others, it may be expressed creatively in paintings, pictures, or inventions. And this is really lovely too, because I think he's saying, this quote is saying that all of us are going to have a unique calling for what really inspires us, drives us, how we really want to fully manifest and share our talents in the world. Self-actualized people are accepting of others as well as their own flaws, often with humor and tolerance. Not only do self-actualized people fully accept others, but they are also true to themselves rather than pretending in order to impress others. Very important. Self-actualized people also tend to be independent and resourceful. They are less likely to rely upon external authorities to direct their lives. Number three, they can cultivate deep and loving relationships with others, tendency to exude gratitude and maintain deep appreciation, even for commonplace blessings in life. Number five, they can often discern between the superficial and the real when judging situations. They seldom depend upon their environment or culture to form their opinions. And then number seven, they tendency to view life as a mission that calls them to a purpose beyond themselves. That's really interesting. And this is kind of, again, like a psychological way. He's not using the word enlightened. That would be a spiritual term, but someone that is fully awake and actualized. And these are really qualities that all of us can achieve. And I really love that too. Every soul can achieve enlightenment. Every person can become self-actualized. And that will look different for each person. I wanted to turn a moment now to Carl Jung, the great Swiss psychiatrist who taught the world about archetypes, which are structures within the mind that exist throughout cultures, such as the trickster archetype, the hero archetype, the heroine archetype. He talked about these being embedded in our collective unconscious and how each individual also has their own personal unconscious, the highest capacity that a human may embody. He calls this individuation, the achievement of self-actualization through a process of integrating the conscious and the unconscious. How do we do this according to Jungian psychology and just sort of Jung in general? Well, we learn to work with our shadow side. We pay attention to the things that really trigger us in other people, that bring up strong vehemence or just strong reactions. And then we can explore this. We can journal about it. Normally, there is something in the shadow that is not fully integrated inside of us. And this can also be on the positive side too. For example, if someone maybe finds himself admiring a certain celebrity, the celebrity is representing characteristics of the person's own self that they have not fully recognized in themselves. So that could be another way to recognize the shadow work. Something we can journal about, talk about in therapy. Paying attention to our dreams would be another way to integrate our conscious and our unconscious, which again, Jung talked about, really, that's the ultimate goal, and we can never fully know our unconscious. However, we can be as conscious as possible in every moment. This really then allows us to fully accept ourselves and then to fully accept others. So that's Jung. Now, moving to the spiritual side, enlightenment is a slightly different concept. This would really mean that the personality of the person is reduced so that what is shining through is the essence of the divine. And it doesn't mean that someone still doesn't use their personality when they need to, the ego, just that does not dominate. The person is really in a very extended state of consciousness where they are in harmony with all that is, with the divine, with the flow of the Tao. And because of that, the way they interact and flow through the world is completely transformed. So I'm going to read an answer by the spiritual teacher Osho about the impact of enlightenment. If a person achieves enlightenment, what is the impact on an individual? So this is Osho's words. You can only do one thing, and that is you can achieve inner silence, inner bliss, inner light. If you achieve this, you have helped the world very much. Just by changing one ignorant spot into an enlightened flame, just by changing one person from darkness into light, you have changed a part of the world. And this changed part will have its own chain reactions. Buddha is not dead. Jesus is not dead. They cannot be dead because there is a chain reaction. From one lamp, from one flame, another flame takes over. And a successor is created and they go on living. But if your light is not there, If your lamp is without a flame, you cannot help anyone. The first basic thing is that you must attain your inner flame. Then others can share. Then you can kindle others' light also. Then it becomes a succession. Then you may disappear from the body, but your flame goes on, passing from hand to hand. Up to eternity, it goes on and on. Buddhas never die. Enlightened persons never die because their light becomes a chain reaction. And unenlightened persons never live because they cannot create any chain. They don't have any light to share, no flame to kindle someone else's flame. Please be concerned with yourself only. Be selfish, I say, because that is the only way you will become selfless. That is the only way you can become a help and a blessing to the world. Don't be worried about it. That is not your concern. The greater your worries are, the greater you think your responsibilities are. And the greater your responsibilities, the more you feel yourself as being great. You are not. You are simply mad. Get out of this madness of helping others. Just help yourself. And then many things happen, but they happen as a consequence. Once you become a source of light, things start happening. Many will share it. Many will be enlightened about it. Many will attain life, more life, abundant life through it. But don't think about it. You cannot do anything about it consciously. Only one thing can be done, and that is you become conscious. Then everything follows. Well, that is absolutely beautiful. And that is really the essence of what my friend David was trying to tell me. So I just feel like I even need to sit with that. I read this quote and found it while I was doing research for today's episode, and just let that sink in. I'm going to read another quote on becoming enlightened. And this is from the website BW Wellbeing World. When we are on the spiritual path, we understand the reality of life, that we come with nothing and we take nothing with us when we go. We come alone and go alone. Nobody and nothing belongs to us. We realize that we are not this body. Even this body we will leave behind. We realize that we are all part of the supreme energy. Therefore, we get detached from people and possessions. This detachment liberates us from pain, misery, and sorrow. In relationships, we learn to forgive. Even though our partner may not be spiritual, we realize that it is all a lila. Ultimately, everything is maya and illusion. We realize that success and achievement are not the ultimate goals of life. The ultimate goal is an enlightenment, spiritual awakening. We realize that happiness does not come from pleasure, which is temporary and based on achievement and success. Happiness comes from just being happy. We know we are all one and therefore no longer hate people or get angry, vengeful, or jealous. I really needed to hear these because, again, feeling somewhat hopeless and downtrodden after the election, I know if I continue to work on myself, then the greater capacity I will have to be of service to others and to really help the world. And then finally, before we turn to our meditation in jazz, I wanted to read a little bit from Eknath Eswaran, who's a scholar and a spiritual teacher and mystic. And he talks about meeting Gandhi, the impact that meeting Gandhi had on him when he was a young man. So he met Gandhi at a village in India where people would come from all over the world to be of service. And he said, "I found myself among young people from all around the world, Americans, Japanese, Africans, Europeans, and even Britons, who had come to see Gandhi and help in his work. Whether a person's skin was white, brown, or black, whether he or she supported or opposed him, seemed to make no difference to Gandhi. He related to all with ease and respect. Almost immediately, he made us feel we were part of his own family. Indeed, I think that in a private corner of our hearts, we all saw ourselves in him. I did. It was as if a previous element common to all of us had been extracted and purified to shine forth brightly as the Mahatma, a great soul. That very commonness was what moved us most, the feeling that in spite of all of our fears and resentments and petty faults too, we were made of such stuff. The great soul was our soul." And so again, he's saying that all of us have in us the souls of Gandhi. We're made of the same stuff. We have the same capacity to wake up and become fully awake. As you're just hearing this right now, I'm curious about, what is your take on kind of becoming fully self-actualized, self-individuated, to use the Jungian term, to become fully enlightened? Is this something that you think about? How do you hold it? And just how does this sit with you post-election? Well, before we move to the jazz piece, which is really the therapeutic and uplifting part, I would like us to do a short meditation. And this is really for the healing of our country, that we can go forth in unity as much as possible and be kind to others who have political differences from us. Find a comfortable seat. And if you're walking or driving right now, you can just pause and then skip ahead to the music part, since you don't want to miss that. And if you have just a few minutes, sit with us to do this. It's kind of a version of a metta meditation. I want you to imagine your heart chakra area. The heart chakra is green. And I want you just to imagine that from your heart chakra area, this golden light is filling your whole entire body, going up through your chest, through your arms, down through your torso, down through your legs. It's all around. And you might say with me, may I be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened. And now, I would like us to do this part where we're going to imagine this golden light, the same golden light that has filled our hearts. And I would like you to imagine that this golden light is going across the whole entire country. And this golden light is specifically going to go to every politician who's a Democrat, maybe, and every citizen that identifies as a Democrat. See this golden light going across the whole country. We might say, may all Democratic politicians in their public service serve to their highest capacity, and may they be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened. And may all citizens who identify as Democrat identify as liberals, may they all be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened. And now we're going to do the same for all Republican politicians and every citizen that identifies as Republican. So imagine the same golden light going from your heart, covering the entire country. And may all Republican politicians serve the country to their highest capacity. May they be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened. And may all citizens identify as Republican be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened. And may these two groups, Republicans and Democrats, politicians, citizens, may we all coexist peacefully with love in our heart. And finally, we're going to send this golden light from our hearts to President-elect Donald Trump and everyone in his administration. And if you have strong feelings come up about that, that's okay. If you If you didn't vote for Donald Trump, I didn't vote for him. However, I'm going to still send him love and light. And if you did send him love and light, then you can do that in the spirit that he gets what he needs to be the most effective leader possible. So sending this golden light to President-elect Donald Trump and everyone that will serve in his administration. May President-elect Donald Trump be peaceful, free, happy, and enlightened. And may everyone who serves under him be peaceful, happy, free, and enlightened as well. And may we all open our hearts to one another and just try to serve in acts of kindness, small and big, to make this country as good as it can be. And finally, just come back to your own heart now and take a couple of final breaths. It's time to listen to some jazz. Due to copyright laws, we cannot play the music on air at this time. I will leave links to the songs we listen to so you can pause and listen to the songs along with us. Now, today's artist is Clifford Brown. And Clifford Brown is one of these artists who is really kind of in a league of his own, similar to Charlie Parker, similar to Oscar Peterson, John Coltrane, Coleman Hawkins. And I wanted to choose Clifford Brown specifically for today because today is all about the power of one, how all of us can change the world. And Clifford Brown was a trumpeter. He died when he was only 25 years old. However, every single group he played with, he improved the sound. He was someone who, because of the beauty and the exquisite elegance that came out of his trumpet, he improved everything around him. So he really is a musical embodiment of what we are talking about today. Okay, so Clifford Benjamin Brown was born October 30th, 1930, and he died on June 26th, 1956. He was an American jazz trumpeter, pianist, and composer, and he died at the age of 25 in a car crash, leaving only 4 years worth of recordings. His compositions, Sandu, Joy Spring, and Da Houd, have become jazz standards. Brown won the Downbeat Magazine Critics Poll for New Star of the Year in 1954, when he was inducted into the Downbeat Hall of Fame in 1972. And in my opinion, Clifford Brown is really one of the best trumpeters that ever lived. Charlie Parker and Miles Davis both heard him very early on in his career, I think about 1951, 1952, and they were just both amazed. And Clifford Brown grew up in a musical family, and like many jazz greats, he eventually made his way to New York. However, what is interesting about his story is that Clifford Brown came to California in 1954. He was invited by the drummer Max Roach, also a genius. This collaboration between Max Roach and Clifford Brown is one of the most legendary pairings in the history of jazz. And because of this pairing, they formed their band, the Clifford Brown Max Roach Quintet, featuring tenor saxophonist Harold Land, Richie Powell on the piano, and Greg Morrill. From the website cliffordbrown.net, I found this quote about him. "All of those who have followed his lead have been impacted in one way or another. Trumpeters such as Roy Eldridge, Charlie Chambers, Clark Terry, Harry Sweets Edison, Buck Clayton, Edra Suleiman, Dizzy, Miles, Art Farmer, Nat Adderley, Benny Bailey, and many others were in awe of his dedication and awesome talent. Those who started out of his talent have become names which run into infinity, such as Bill Hardman, Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, Booker Little, Woody Shaw, and including the trumpeters of today, such as Wynton Marsalis, Terrence Blanchard, Darren Barrett, and many others. Clifford truly redirected the art of playing the trumpet. All trumpet players from various disciplines and of different persuasions know of him and acknowledge his greatness. Clifford is immortal." Oh, also, you guys, you might already know this. However, his son, Clifford Brown Jr., hosts the American Jazz Countdown on KCSM 91.1. And the show is on Sunday mornings on the Bay Area's Jazz Station from 10 to 12. So that's a really cool thing that Clifford Brown's son can keep his jazz legacy alive in the art of broadcasting jazz. So let's go to the music. We're first going to hear a song called Blues Live, and this is from the album A Night in Birdland. Now, this is part of a multi-volume set that was recorded by the Art Blakey Quintet, and Clifford Brown joined the quintet, and the results were absolutely marvelous. Clifford Brown's on the trumpet, Lou Donaldson's on the alto saxophone, Horace Silver on piano, Curly Russell on the bass, and Art Blakey on the drums. Well, we just heard Blues Live. This album was recorded over a couple nights, February 21st, 1954. And this was released in 1956. So recorded over 70 years ago. How do I feel hearing this? I kind of have the sense that this song is sort of telling us, even though things might be hard, and you know, that's what a blues can be. It embodies this spirit of being a little down, being a little out, and yet there was still hope in this song. There was such a relaxed, kind of languid quality to it. But there's just like power that was driving the song forward too. I would put this song in the category of emotional galvanization, because even though we do really need to work hard to make this country a place really where everyone is welcome, and well, we have a lot of work to do, I feel hopeful hearing this song. Like, okay, I want to keep working on myself. I want to be able to make a change. So as you heard this song, what thoughts and feelings come up? Let me know. And again, how effortlessly Clifford Brown just comes into this group, and his solo was just absolutely incredible. We're going to get to hear him play in a couple different styles today. He really could do it all. He could play ballads so beautifully. He could play a long bluesy tune, and he could just play at the most intense speed. Now, this song is called Stompin' at the Savoy, and this is from the album Brown and Roach Incorporated. So we have Clifford Brown on the trumpet, Max Roach on the drums, Harold Land on the tenor saxophone, Rishi Pala on piano, and George Morrow on the bass. And this was recorded between August 2nd and 6th of 1954. The joy that fills my heart when I hear that song is just so immense. And you guys, even when things are hard, I can always count on the power of jazz to just bring me back to life. And sometimes that's what we need, just to remember that we can tap into deep joy, even when the externalities are so difficult. That was a lovely solo by Harold Land on the tenor saxophone. He was really swinging. Then we heard Rishi Pala on the piano, and Clifford Brown came in with his solo. And then we heard Max Roach, who just tore it up on that drum solo. So again, Clifford Brown just can come in and always will elevate, always will add. I would put this song in the category of emotional elevation, because I just feel such deep joy to be able to hear this. Just the ebullience, the jubilance, the joy of being alive is what really came through. So finally, let us turn to our last song. And this was made the year Clifford Brown died. This was live 1956 at the Cotton Club, the song that we're going to hear. There's a few changes in personnel on the song we're going to hear, which is Take the A Train. Clifford Brown, of course, is on the trumpet. Sonny Rollins now is our tenor sax player. So we get a little bonus just because he was incredible. And we still have Richie Powell on the piano, George Morrow on the bass, and Max Roachican on the drums. So this is a standard Ellington tune. Well, actually, it was Billy Strayhorn. I should not say that. It was Billy Strayhorn who wrote the tune, it's credited as a Duke Ellington song, but we know that Billy Strayhorn really wrote it. They were very close collaborators. Listen to this song and just hear what they can do with it. The virtuosic explosion is just has to be witnessed. All right, so pause right now and go listen to Take the A Train live 1956 at the Cotton Club, available on YouTube. We're going to hear it right now. Take the A Train, Clifford Brown and Max Roach. And wow. Absolutely dizzying, incredible speed. We can totally hear, right, why somebody would say, the critic that we heard earlier say, that Max Roach and Clifford Brown together were incredible, and that Clifford Brown really was the next Dizzy Gillespie. He could just the dexterity, like the energy, the explosion. And we heard Sonny Rollins, incredible on the alto sax, and Max Roach, just the most virtuosic drummer probably ever to play in jazz. Like the innovation, the life that came through this song. I would put this song in the category of emotional innovation and emotional galvanization for sure. Live 1956 at the Cotton Club, and Clifford Brown just only 25 years old. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. It was a tad longer than I expected. Really about the power of one person, each of us, that we can change the world. We have to start with ourselves. I have to work on myself every day, and I really can step in it sometimes. However, for a committed spiritual mystic or good citizen, however you see yourself, to fall 1,000 times and rise again is what we keep having to do over and over again. We work on ourselves, we become more loving, and then we share that love out in the world. I hope this was some balm for your soul today after the election. It definitely was for me. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. And by the grace of God, I will. Edward Everett Hale. And finally, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. This is a time when I really have to dig deep. If you're listening, you have to dig deep. These words of President John F. Kennedy, these are so true, and they represent the beauty of what American democracy is at its heart, the benevolence, the desire for freedom, to celebrate and uplift all individuals, especially immigrants, who are the backbone of this country and the economic fabric that make the economy strong and vital. We have to dig deep. So let us part with these words. May they be a balm for your soul. May jazz therapy soothe your soul. And check back with us for our next episode. I promise to be better about getting regular production schedule. Thank you so much. I will see you for our next episode. Thank you for listening, reflecting, and being present with us today. Please leave us a review and comment. Jazz Therapy is edited and produced by Patricio Garcia. Sage Salmon is our social media coordinator. To connect with us, find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our email is info@jazztherapy.com. Check back next week for our next episode. May jazz therapy soothe your soul.